It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Robert De Niro did an interview prior to the State of the Union. As you know, he's become a political anti-Trump activist. He does it with a very big mouth and a very small command of the facts. Too bad. The guy's a great actor. I've always liked him. He got his primary start with The Godfather Part 2, making history. He played the part of younger Vito Corleone in flashbacks. Vito Corleone was first portrayed, as you know, 2 years earlier by Marlon Brando in the original Godfather film. Brando won the Academy Award for Best Actor. De Niro won Best Supporting Actor for the same role. It was the first time in Academy history that two people won awards for portraying the same character. He went on to do many other movies, mostly gangster roles, Goodfellas, Casino, Good Pictures. Yeah, he was typecast, but he was great at what he did. I never thought the day would come when I'd like some of the gangster characters he portrayed more than the actor himself. In his interview, De Niro called for unity in America. Well, isn't that touching? He says you have to lift people up. You have to bring them together. Period. You can't divide people. You can't win that way. It's a no-win situation. Of course, the unity he was talking about was not something that would truly unite the country. It was about uniting people against Trump, which means uniting against the half of the country that voted for Trump. But he said this while choking up and starting to cry right in the middle of the interview. I must say, it brought a tear to my own eye. I almost got out of violin. And in this same interview, this interview calling for unity, he called Trump the enemy of the country. He's also called Stephen Miller, the Trump associate, a Nazi, even though Miller is Jewish. Unity. Yeah, the left is about unity. Their unity sure was on display at the State of the Union. They wouldn't stand for Erica Kirk, even though the woman is still grieving. They wouldn't stand up for a little girl hit by car from an illegal driver, a little five-year-old girl. They wouldn't stand up for a mother whose daughter was murdered on the subway by someone who'd been arrested and released from jail many, many times. They wouldn't stand against schools facilitating gender change for students without informing parents. Half of them wouldn't even stand for the gold medal Olympic hockey winners because Trump had made a joke. Yeah, he called the locker room. Some people had trouble that he even called the locker room. All kinds of presidents have visited locker rooms and congratulated winning Olympic teams. I don't think Joe Biden ever did. He wouldn't have been able to find the locker room. He would have made his way to the ice cream parlor instead. But Trump made a phone call and congratulated them, invited them to the White House, invited them to the State of the Union, and then he made a joke. He said that if he didn't also invite the women's victorious hockey team to the White House, he'd be impeached. That was his joke. If he didn't invite the women, he'd be impeached. So the left's response is, oh my God, how misogynistic. And now they can't stand up and congratulate our team and the so-called sports reporters. They won't stop talking about this. They're not talking about the gold. They're not talking about what it feels like to win. It's, how could you have laughed at that joke? Look, I never really followed hockey or cared about it, but for Pete's sake, can't we just be happy for our team and happy for our country? Can't we let them enjoy this moment without trying to politicize it and ruin it for everybody? But the viral moment of the State of the Union came when Trump asked every politician in the room to stand if they agreed that the first duty of government is to protect its citizens, not illegal aliens. Not a single Democrat in the room stood. The explanation from the Democrats afterwards, and it's an obvious one, an expected one, it was that Trump was using a tactic. They weren't going to give in to a tactic. He was setting them up. He was laying a trap. Of course he was setting a trap, and they took the bait. But I'm not using the word trap as a negative description. It was clever, it accomplished its purpose, and it says much more about the Democrats than Trump. He opened the door, and they went right where he knew they'd go. Of course he knew. A trained chimpanzee could have predicted this. If we really want to get technical, what Trump actually did was exploit and highlight a trap which they set for themselves. They know how horrible it looks to the population at large not to stand in the presence of a call for commitment that's basic government competency and decency 101, as well as something each and every person in that room swore an oath to uphold before even taking office. But their financial base and special interest groups would have been angry if they had stood up. They would have thrown little hissy fits. So it was a catch-22. And Trump knew which side they would try to catch the ball from. What's going on, of course, is he's looking ahead to the midterms. What he wanted, what he accomplished successfully, was a very clear, calculated maneuver to create a video to be used on every Senate and Congress election all over the country this fall. The idea is for people to realize that midterms are just as important as presidential elections. Do you really want to put these people back in power? He was saying. It was brilliant. But it won't be enough, not without more people waking up. I want to talk to those of you who in the past have only voted for Trump. You don't care about midterms because you don't like Republicans. You don't like the Democrats either, but you don't like Republicans. You just like Trump. I get it. I understand. I myself am neither Republican nor Democrat. I'm an independent. Still, given a choice between the Democrats and Republicans, there's nothing to even think about. It's true that with Trump as an exception, Republicans tend to not keep their promises. Here's the problem. Democrats do keep their promises, and they promise hideous things. Revolving doors for arrested murderers, men playing on women's sports teams, open borders, Marxist redistribution of wealth, government regulations against energy that put companies out of business and lose jobs, taking your tax dollars and spending it on people who are here illegally. I realize you don't want to vote this November if Trump's name is not on the ballot. Let me tell you something. His name is on the ballot. Maybe not with the letters T-R-U-M-P, but with the campaign promises that Democrats are going to be making all over the country, in every corner. Should they take back the House, their first order of business will be to impeach Trump. Don't you remember? This happened before. We warned you back in 2018. You didn't listen to our warning. The GOP lost the House in the midterms, and all the oxygen was sucked out of Trump's agenda because the country was focused on his impeachment. He wasn't convicted back then in the Senate, but it was close. And what if we lose both houses this time? So wise up. You elected Trump for 4 years. Do you really want him to serve 4 years? Then get off your tail in November and vote in the local Republican candidate. I don't care if you like the candidate or not. His being there is going to at least give the Republicans the majority, which means it neutralizes the Democrats' hideousness. I don't care if the guy's a rhino with horns. Just ignore that and vote as if you're voting for Trump. Because guess what? You will be voting for Trump. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, good evening, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. March? Hard to keep up with the news.
I'm telling you what. So you said you recorded that monologue on Friday?
I recorded that Friday. Sometimes I record my monologue a day or two early. And with Trump in the news, it dates so quickly. I would have opened with Iran, but we will talk about that.
Totally. Also, if I remember right, next week is daylight savings time. Is that correct?
That I'm not sure, but I know it's a whole lot earlier these days than it used to be. So it may very well be.
So just a heads up for next week's Bob Siegel Show. To tune in, it's spring ahead, I believe, just in case you want to tune into the Bob Siegel Show for that. Otherwise, yes, we will talk about the missile crisis. And also, I want to leave the note on a happier mood. So I will do a movie review in our last segment of our show. But first, let's talk about that State of the Union, like you were talking about in the monologue. So I have some pros, but I also have some cons about the whole speech as well. So without any further ado, let's start with the cons. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is some of the details that he was saying. There were some statistics that were wrong, unfortunately. So he started off, one of the big ones for me was he said zero illegal aliens have been admitted to the United States. I'm not sure if that's true. There's reports.
He exaggerated. I think he just means the border's been completely shut down.
I think so, because otherwise
we're not having to apprehend them and send them back that close to the border.
Right. Now there's
a lot of illegal aliens still in the United States.
Oh yes, definitely.
Biden and our previous presidents.
Right, and he's trying his best to get through as many as possible, obviously. But there was a report that said since Trump took office, there has been about 6,000 illegal crossings. Now, again, how many have come back since then? Who knows?
But, and are they talking about the southern border, or are they talking about some that are getting in through other places like airports? And
I'm not sure. I believe it was the southern border.
Okay.
But
I'm not sure, but that's just true. A question.
The other one he said was crime is down and there are no murders in Washington, D.C.
Well, he wasn't thinking about those two national. Are you thinking about the two National Guardsmen?
Correct.
I understand that.
Yeah, so that one I was like, I don't know. But again, that's all nitpicking.
And that
was
a terrorist attack. That wasn't murder is murder, obviously,
true.
It wasn't your everyday crime. I think that's what he was talking about.
The one I would like to argue to is I secured commitments for more than $18 trillion pouring in from all over the globe. His administration published publicly saying that it's $9.7 trillion. So I'm assuming he means he's projecting.
There's probably something in stasis still. Of course, it's a mute point now that the Supreme Court went and overturned that.
They'll overturn almost anything.
They never disappoint. Telling you, Brendan, whatever Congress does, and they're going to make plenty of trouble regarding Iran, I guarantee you some judge is going to make the war in Iran unconstitutional and command Trump to bring back the troops.
Now,
I know that sounds outrageous and that's never happened before, but this is Trump. They already told him he had to bring people back that he deported. We never had a judge do that before either.
True.
Now, you just watch some idiot, narcissistic judge is going to command Trump to stop the war. You know what Trump needs to do? Just say, I do not recognize your authority. You are not the commander-in-chief of
this
country.
And besides, I actually do have some kind of confidence that Congress and some sort of will actually say, okay, no, we'll declare war at this point. But time will tell on that whole point, especially with the...
Well, they don't have to declare war. We haven't declared war
since World War II. No, this is a military operation. I know. Within 60 days.
They don't even have to declare war within 60 days. All they have to do is give them permission to continue it. We have not declared war since World War II, and we've had plenty of wars since World War II.
It's true. It's very true. Also, he said we added 70,000 construction jobs. The report, actually, it's 14,000, so it's a much different number than what he was saying there, for sure.
Yeah, he might have gotten excited and gotten his facts wrong.
Yeah, he says he's ended 8 different wars since taking office. He hasn't ended them per se.
Well, a lot of people have signed deals, but I understand Pakistan and India started fighting again later, but you got to hand it to the guy. He's done a lot.
He's doing a lot of deals, for sure. Now, are people following up with those deals is the question.
Yeah.
I can't trust Russia as much as I could throw them across the Pacific Ocean or the land bridge that used to be there between Alaska and Russia, for that matter, too.
Well, we don't have a deal secured with Russia yet anyway.
They said there was coming into details and everything, so I don't know if he was including that into the 8 different
I know
wars,
he likes but... making deals. There are some people you just can't make deals with. I was, for example, against trying to make deals with Iran all these years, even Trump. They're not going to honor any deal. This time they didn't agree to one anyway. But even when they agree to it, big whip, they never ever honor it.
Totally.
When they talk and lie, they're speaking their native language. The only time you ever hear the truth from them is when they're chanting death to America. Then they're telling the truth.
Right, exactly. Now, we'll get into that whole thing because it's good. He also said, I will always protect Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Surprising about that Medicaid one, because he cut a huge budget out of that with his big, beautiful bill, over $1 trillion out of Medicaid.
I believe that the only cuts from there, though, we're going to illegal aliens. And so the Democrats will wave their flags and call that. You can check me on that. But I know that there were some cuts given to health care because free health care was given to illegal aliens. I believe that's where the cuts are coming.
Okay. So if he specified more,
well,
on that
there
one,
are
I
people
think,
that don't. Well, oh, and also one more caveat. There are people that don't qualify for Medicaid because they could be working. I think those it's people true. Got cuts also.
I do know that he did state about like 2.4 million people got off of food stamps. But that was also because we were realizing how many people were taking advantage of the food stamp process.
Exactly. So I think when he says he wouldn't ever cut Medicaid, he means from people who really need Medicaid.
Right. And if I can mention very quickly about the 2.4 million super quick, it was the fact that the way he delivered it within the speech, it sounded like he was changing the economy in a certain direction, when really it was all just a big scam.
He paints with very broad strokes when he speaks.
Yeah. Now, one thing I did want to mention too is that for the State of the Union, I actually was listening to it on our radio station, AM 1170. The answer. So I wasn't able to see what was going on. I heard later on social media about Representative Al Green posting up a huge sign.
Yeah, he had to get escorted out again within the first 5 minutes, just like last time.
Yeah, he didn't get to hear the speech. I think he heard the speech outside the doors.
I don't think he cared about the speech. He had made up his mind about the speech. And the expressions on Ilhan Omar's face and Rashida Tlaib.
And then they were chanting, "You killed Americans."
Yeah, they were just vile people.
Did he shake hands with Brian Kavanaugh by any chance, or no, he did not?
He shook hands. There were only 4 justices there. I think Kavanaugh was one of them. He did shake hands with all of them.
That's interesting.
Including Amy Coney Barrett and Roberts, who voted against him. Trump will make these statements and insult people when he doesn't get his way from them, but he's very forgiving and very gracious. And so I was not surprised to see him go and shake their hands.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, during the entire state, or I wouldn't say the entire State of the Union, but a good portion of the State of the Union, there was a portion where he was attacking Democrats. And I thought for sure he'd still have that kind of bone with those people as well.
He did attack the Supreme Court in his speech, but that didn't keep him from shaking hands with them before he started.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And he didn't lay into them as much as you might have thought he would, but he did lay into them a little bit.
Yeah. And again, I would have preferred it if he would have done that kind of attack.
And but he shook hands with John Fetterman. Now, here's something I'm unclear about with Fetterman, because you're always talking about how he's a man of conscience, he'll vote for the Republicans. And he was asked specifically? Because we kept hearing when Trump said, stand up if you believe that your first duty is to take care of American citizens. Mm-hmm. I kept hearing not a single Democrat in the room stood up. Well, I kept thinking, well, Fetterman must have been one of the ones who stood up. But he was interviewed on Fox News and specifically asked, did you stand up? And this was the first time I saw Fetterman act like a politician, because what he did is he pivoted. And he says, well, I stand up when I want to, and I don't look around the room. And then he mentioned all these things that he did stand up for. He stood up for the Olympic gold medalist. He stood up for the five-year-old girl. He just gave a litany of things that he did stand up for, and maybe he was hoping that we wouldn't notice that he didn't answer the question.
It's true.
About now, it could be that he just forgot to get back to it, so I don't want to say for sure, but I'm not really clear on whether Fetterman stood up or not for that. Now, I'll still give him credit for standing up for the other things, and I do like the guy, but that was a little disappointing if he didn't stand. That would have been, to me, a no-brainer.
I believe he looked at his constituents and went, oh, they're not standing up. I'm probably going to have to sit down on this one, because I've already stood up for the rest.
His constituents weren't standing up for the other ones.
No, I know, but he stood up for the rest, because I think there's a certain level where he will say, this is on my individual.
Be that he was thinking, well, I believe I should protect people that are here legally and illegal, and he didn't like the way the question was framed. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can give him the benefit of the doubt. But it was disappointing because he really didn't answer the question. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't stood up and he had admitted it and then explained why he didn't stand up, I would have respected that.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I did want to mention about one thing that Trump did say was he said the cost of chicken, butter, and fruit is lower today than when I took office. A study showed that actually that those prices have gone up by 2.9% since he took office, and then beef itself has increased by 15%.
Well, I know beef is still high. I had heard independent reports, not just from Trump, that chicken and milk and eggs and things have gone down.
Now, so. I have heard eggs for sure has gone down, because there was a big...
I thought the thing with chickens was there had been this disease for the longest time, and that we were beyond that. Now, I caught a mistake that Trump made.
Okay.
And I don't know how serious it is, because like I just said, murder is murder. The woman that was murdered on the subway, Trump said she was murdered by an illegal alien. My understanding was that that person was an American citizen. The problem was he had just been released from jail again and again, like a revolving door. So it was still good to mention that and mention what a travesty it was. But I believe that guy was legally in our country. So I think Trump was mistaken when he said that.
Well, I do remember the early reports was that he was an illegal alien at the time. I do remember
I don't remember even hearing that in
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those were the early reports.
Did you hear it corrected later on?
I don't know for sure. So if you heard the corrected version, that's another
one we can look into. I had always been under the impression that I had never heard that he was here illegally.
Yeah, I do remember the early reports.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was here illegally, still.
I do know that later on they said that he was dealing with schizophrenia and
His sister visiting him in jail. And that's the kind of stuff that made me assume he was just here legally. Mm-hmm. He's got a sister that's here. You're also visiting him. I don't know.
Exactly. So the only thing I will say too is that I view the State of the Union as a patriotic camaraderie kind of thing. As much as you despise Barack Obama, I have to say the way that he was trying to portray, like, Republicans, can you please just work with me? I'm not saying you need to change your ideas. I'm not saying you need to do this and like go completely my way. I just want to understand your point of view, and then we could see if we can come to an equal ground of some sort. That's what I prefer in a State of the Union.
Well, Obama had some finesse, but that was very disingenuous. He was, for example, he said he couldn't get any jobs bills passed with the Republicans. They passed 30 jobs bills, and they were all dead on arrival at his desk. So he was the one not working with them, too. So that was a little disingenuous.
I can understand that. I'm just saying, in terms of a public forum, especially a really public forum like the State of the Union, I would have preferred it in that sense, but I completely understand Trump's frustration at this
point. For the most part, Trump wasn't talking about the Democrats. He did comment on them, though, when they wouldn't stand.
Totally, totally.
And I thought that was appropriate. In fact, and again, like I said in my monologue, he's thinking about the midterms. Mm-hmm. He wanted some visuals for the midterms, did he get them.
And again, I understand his frustration, because again, every two steps he's making, a step back in the court system, a step back within the Congress, or again, those gain of eight, they'll come by and attack him. And he's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing anything illegal. And yet they're going to find some kind of way to impeach him later down the road. We all know that for sure. But it's just at some point it gets ridiculous for sure. And I completely concur with how Trump was feeling then. Now, going on to the pros, obviously there's a whole bunch, but I do want to point out some factual things that he did say in his statistics for sure. For example, he said the economy is booming under him. When Biden was leaving office 1 year ago, it was at -2.3%. Since he's taken office in 1 year, the economy has gone up to 2.2%, which is a whole, I'm doing the math, 4.5% higher than
what
Biden
has done. Well, what do you expect? Biden was never truly elected president, and he never actually served those 4 years as president. So on both counts, what do you expect?
It's true. I do like how one of the first things he did mention was obviously the gas prices. Now, his national average, you have to take, if you heard about it, I was off, but that was because he did not include Hawaii and California as the gas price.
Well, he might have been thinking those prices are due to their taxes, so I don't have to take responsibility for
this. 100%.
He might have been thinking this is what they would be if they weren't putting those stupid taxes
exactly on. And then he was mentioning how Iowa had $1.85. I'm not kidding you, some guy went online and went to gasbuddy.com to find that $1.85 in Iowa, and he was able to find three different gas stations at that price. So he's like, I can't confirm which place Trump was at that day. All I can say is that that was factual, at least. I was like, I can't believe that guy was very specific on finding out that information. Core inflation is down as much in the past 5 years. Absolutely correct. Although, again, there's certain people in that government official that kept pushing on, like, no, we can't turn the inflation rates down. Are you kidding me? We're still not there. When obviously we were there in the first place, and he just kept refusing over and over again. And then the one I had to do research on, I wanted to make sure, he said every hostage in Gaza, both living and dead, have been returned.
Of them dead, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
They were returned finally.
Yeah, I didn't believe at first, but I did research. Yes, that is 100% correct.
That is true.
And that's really, really great for that.
I don't like the fact that something like 200 Palestinians alive were released from prison for every dead hostage sent back. But yes, the parents needed some closure.
I agree on that for sure. The only other thing I will say is that this was the most straightforward Trump speech I have ever heard in my life. I love it. And it's great to hear those factual terms get out there to know that people will still try to question
him. If Western civilization survives with any sanity, he will go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest president we've ever had.
And do you know what the best part is, Bob? We still got 3 more years of this.
Yes. We got to win those midterms.
We do. But I'm going to enjoy the next 3 years as much as possible, for sure. So when we come back, we're going to definitely talk about the elephant in the room for sure, which is, of course, the attack that happened yesterday in Iran. So we'll be right back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes. What's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. So yesterday morning, and I wasn't surprised, it seems like Trump does these things on weekends, and I know they did it in the daytime as a surprise because they were waiting for a lot of the leaders to get together and hold this important meeting. And biggest news of the day, the Ayatollah Khomeini is dead. Now, some people are listening saying, Bob, I thought you were a Christian. Should you be celebrating the death of anybody, even an evil person? As a matter of fact, yes. And if you want some scripture, in the book of Revelation, there's a place where martyrs who were murdered under evil people are rejoicing when the evil people are destroyed. Yes, primarily, the message of the gospel is about forgiveness. But the gospel is also about destroying evil. And if a person will not turn from their sins, if they will not repent of their evil, God will eventually destroy them. And that destruction is something we can rejoice about. So I do that, and I do that as a Christian.
Well. It was a crazy, crazy story when I woke up, that's for sure. Because like you said, it was happening during the daytime. I woke up at 5 in the morning, and then it popped up.
I literally remember waking up thinking, because I could just tell they were going to do it at any time, the way the negotiation. And I think they had this planned a week before. I think even when they said Marco Rubio was going to take a trip to Israel, I don't think that was ever really a scheduled trip.
No.
I thought that was just something to deceive them.
Totally, totally. And besides, Trump was giving them so many warnings. Like, seriously.
More than they deserved. He shouldn't have been making any deal with them anyway, because they wouldn't have honored the deal.
I understand, too, that, Bob, for sure. But you know what he is. He is a deal maker, so he's trying his best to do these deals. But, like, I agree with you. If I can't trust the country, then why should we even try to do the deal in the first place?
And he said that the Ayatollah was this horrible human being, this monster. If the Ayatollah had made a deal, he would have said, the Ayatollah and I get along great. He's a great guy. Great guy.
Yeah.
I love Trump, but he goes overboard with these deals sometimes.
Now, I did hear reports that there were other senior leaders inside that
building,
too. There
were about 40 that were destroyed there, and I believe they've gotten a couple more since then.
I was going to ask you if you could name each each one, but never mind. Oh, if there's 40, then forget it. I'm just going
to
say.
I wouldn't be able to pronounce them even if I knew who they were.
It's true.
I did hear rumor that, remember Ahmadinejad, who was the president for years and said Israel had to be wiped off the face of the earth?
I do remember him.
He was very big when my radio show first came on the air. I even have an old interview back. You can still hear it off of my website where I record Marvin the Martian. It's supposed to be an interview with Ahmadinejad. And he says, what are you going to do to Israel? Oh, I'm going to blow it up.
It's true.
I talked about him a lot. Anyway, I heard, and now it still hasn't been confirmed, but I heard that they dropped a bomb on his residence and he is dead.
Okay, gotcha.
And if he was, we should play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead again.
We should again. But until confirmation, I'll wait on that for now. In the meantime, I do want to play a super quick clip and then I'll get into the whole reasoning of why we did this attack on the first
I am war, concerned but. That Ilhan Omar doesn't approve of this war, though.
Yeah, did you hear?
It's been keeping me up at nights.
Well, did you hear the comments made at the United Nations during their emergency meeting? Specifically, Amir Saeed Irvani is his name. He's the Iranian ambassador to the United Nations, because it sounds threatening to me.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
So I'm going to play for the other folks here just in case, because you have to listen to these words. I'm glad that our representative was very professional in its comeback, because I wouldn't have. I would have gone across the desk.
And listen
honestly.
Carefully, folks, because if you listen to an evil person long enough, sooner or later, they'll tell you exactly what they plan
it's
to
true.
Do.
So take a listen.
I have one word only. I advise to the representative of the United States to be polite. It will be better for yourself and the country you represent. Thank you.
Like, doesn't that sound like a threat to you? Hey, better be polite or else.
Of course it was a threat.
Yeah, so I'm not going to take that at all. And I'm glad that Israeli's ambassador was able to slam him during that time,
too. He did a very
too.
Good job. Yeah. I really think this only will last a matter of weeks. The big question is going to be what comes next. And I like the fact that we're not talking about nation building or boots on the ground. Just like Trump said, we're giving the Iranian people to take their country back. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
But it has to be up to them. We can't go in and make this idea from Colin Powell from years ago that if you break it, you bought it. I've never bought into that.
Right. And besides, we tried that other times too.
It never works. It's long, protracted wars, and then we leave and the whole thing falls apart.
Exactly. Anyway. Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, those are just a few examples. Their prosperity is only short term, and then they go back to having a collapse in within their government too. So, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, even with the U.S. attacking 7 nuclear sites, there was reported 3, but then it got increased to 7, there were still 13 unknown sites within Iran. We've asked over and over, hey, where are those
sites? And they
were
trying to go back and rebuild those original sites, too.
That, too, exactly. Also in the report, Iran has 440.9 kilograms of uranium on site at these nuclear sites, which could equip up to at least 10 nuclear weapons. Now, of course, it can increase even more, too, with how our technology goes on and on and on. Iran's response to the U.S. destroying their 3 main nuclear sites was that the nuclear program was for civilian use only. Yeah, right. If you need that much uranium in the first place and the connection...
We offered to make uranium for them and enrich it and give it to them. They said no because that's not what their purpose is for the uranium.
Right. But if you're making... If you have enough uranium yourself as a country to make at least 10 nuclear weapons, of course there's going to be
with
a correlation.
All their oil, they have another energy source anyway.
It's true. It's very true. I also wanted to read that Iranians themselves haven't been happy within the country. They have been protesting about the current regime that they have. And because of that, thousands of people, both women, children, and men, have been killed and slaughtered because of their government there. Part of this, to me, almost sounds like Venezuela, in a sense. Venezuela had people that were protesting, killed.
And where are the
country.
Protests from the left? What about that apartheid? How
right,
we
exactly.
Don't hear a word from them?
And yet, I still see protests out there saying, why are we involved? Why are we doing this? That we were a non-war.
Because they have chanted president. Death to America for the last 47 years.
Right.
What part of that do you pea brains not understand?
Not to mention, there are Iranians here in this country that are actually celebrating.
They're the happiest ones. And yes. They're praising Trump. And some of them are even praising Israel, which surprises me because I wasn't expecting even the persecuted Iranians to take Israel's side. Mm-hmm. But they're thanking Trump and Israel, mostly Trump.
Yeah, exactly, because he's the brains behind the operation in the first place. And again, I couldn't be happier with the results that happened because of this whole situation. I mean, this also...
It's so long overdue.
It's
so
true.
Long overdue.
And not to mention, this whole thing has had a huge crisis on America in the first place since 1979 during the Iranian Revolution. Iran has killed thousands of Americans from the hostage crisis in 1981. Don't get me started on that whole hostage crisis situation again, because man, oh man, Carter just messed that up. 241 American service members being killed by Iranian-backed militants in Beirut in 1983. And then, of course, the war in Iraq. They were helping Iraq fight against us during
and
that time.
And they were behind the Hamas attack on October 7th.
Exactly. So, again, Iran is one of the biggest terrorist groups, or at least the biggest terrorist regime right now in the entire country. And right now, they're struggling economically, politically. This is the most perfect time to actually try to do something to help change the government or change the country itself of Iran.
And
as
I
well.
Hope Trump doesn't make a deal with the next one that just pops up out of the Jack in the Box, because it'll be the same ideology. We've got to bring in somebody new. Not us. Let the people. We need to just get rid of all their missiles, all their nukes, and then just leave and tell the people, just do whatever you want. We're leaving. Just make sure that whatever government you build, you don't come after the United States or we'll be back.
It's true.
That's all we should do.
And again, it reminds me of like holding a toddler's hand and be like, this is how you lead a country, okay? And then you try to let them off, but they'll always make those mistakes, obviously. Right. So you right. don't want to do that, obviously, too, and keep funding and funding and funding when our own economy still needs a lot more funding and a lot of issues from
exactly.
there. Exactly. So the other thing I do want to mention, too, is that I don't know if you heard Iran, they said they warned us. This is one of their warnings. We're going to take our country out of the World Cup for soccer if you don't stop.
Oh, no! Please, Iran! Please don't do that!
Besides, you're going to lose in the stages, so who cares? You're not even going to make it that far in the
Brendan,
World Cup.
Now I'm not going to be able to sleep all week because you told me that.
I'm so sorry about that, Bob.
Life rises and falls in whether Iran will be a part of the World Cup.
So, one last thing. So, you said it's going to take weeks, like a couple weeks or so to get this done?
I think it'll take a couple of weeks. I don't really think it's going to be a very long time. And I said this on Dave Stahl's show. He had me on at the end today. Mm-hmm. A lot of the isolationists who voted for Trump are bothered by this because they said Trump promised not to get us into any wars. What he promised was that he wasn't going to go in and do nation building and get us into prolonged wars. He has no intention of doing that. Now, they could always change course. But based on what he's saying, he said there will be no boots on the ground. We're bombing them, then we're going to get out.
Yeah.
So you got to give Trump some slack. And he's had a record for doing that. Look what happened with Maduro in Venezuela. Look mm-hmm. what happened in his first term where we took out some terrorists in the Middle East and ISIS. We didn't get involved in wars there, but we took out these evil people. So I'm fine with this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a war, but it's not going to be like Iraq where we went in there and tried to rebuild the nation.
Right. And again, he's not doing anything illegal yet, obviously. So again, so stop pushing that idea.
Oh, the Democrats. And if Trump sneezes, the Democrats will call
him. How dare
illegal.
You? That's illegal. We're going to impeach you for sneezing.
Yeah. He said, God bless you. Separation between church and state.
That was a good one, Bob. I'll give you credit. All right. When we come back, I'm going to end the show on a lighter note. I have a movie review with a movie I just saw last night, and I think you should go watch it. So
in
I will.
Some parts of the world, people are still enjoying movies.
In
all
a movie
is
theater.
Not
yeah. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Reader enthusiasm for the Dangerous Christmas Ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy! The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship through politics and pop culture. Moving into pop culture, say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, we have a brand new movie out from Angel Studios. For those who don't know,
they had a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
They're behind The Chosen.
Yep, right? They are The Chosen. And they also did the movie Sound of Freedom, which was a fantastic movie as well.
And the best Christmas pageant ever. Did you ever get a chance to see that?
Still not yet.
Oh, I will get to it, Brendan, though. Oh.
There's so many other great movies they've done too that I do want to suggest people watch. Sketch is a very good one, in my opinion. Bonhoeffer, a very good movie.
That's a different one than the one Ryan was in, though.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. But still, a similar subject matter for that matter, too. And Cabrini, I know a lot of people were very
I used to not like Christian films. They were so cheesy and not very artistic, and someone had to preach at the end of the movie. And they've really gone beyond that.
And to be fair, it was specifically the company PureFlix. They were very hit or miss. There's some that I think were really good, but there's a lot of them under that name that I was not really much of a fan of, and we've had discussions on that one before. So in this case, we have a brand new movie out from them called Solo Mio. Not really a religious movie too much. There's only one scene.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's
you
okay.
You can have some good values without it being religious.
Sure. There's only one scene where there's a prayer happening. That's it. I was very surprised. I thought I would have seen a lot more.
Stuck in that prayer to make it qualify.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. This is directed by Charles Kinnan and Dan Kinnan. Last time they directed a movie was also starring Kevin James. It was called Home Team. I highly do not recommend that movie. That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen entire life, so do not watch that one. But
Brendan never knows for sure how he feels about a movie when he's done watching it.
So here is Solo Mio, a completely brand new film. I heard about this because
they sing the song Oh Solo Mio.
Actually, yes, they do. How about that? I'll get to some of the cameo that's in this movie too. But very quickly, Kevin James, he plays a guy named Matt Taylor. Now, the way the movie was marketed was a viral video. He created a brand new TikTok Instagram account saying he was Mr. Taylor, he was an art teacher, and people were thinking, wait, he looks like Kevin James, but he's got a brand new look, so is this real or is this fake? And it turns out that he was also dressing up as this character at sporting events too. It was all to market this movie, basically, and luckily it's done really well.
What a creative way to market a movie.
Exactly. It cost $4 million to make, and it made $23 million in the box office. So
and how long has it been out?
It's been out for a whole month right now, since the beginning of February. So it made back its budget.
And
it's
this is in the theaters, you said?
It's still in theaters. It's going to get out soon because it's going to get moved to the Angel Studio
streaming. Yeah.
So luckily, the movie needs to make three times its budget. So luckily, it's made back an additional $11 million for itself. And again, all of Angel Studios' films have been mostly profitable too, because they make them pretty cheap, to be honest. And then they're able to market based on that. So Kevin James is Matt Taylor. He is going to be getting married in Italy. However, his fiance has left him at the altar. So the movie focuses on him trying to deal with those emotions and having to go through some really wacky characters that are in within this movie. So the pros I have, the chemistry that he and co-star Nicole Grimaldo have are fantastic. And that's really important too, because you don't want to make it too just friendly, but you also want to make it romantic at the same time. And they have like the perfect balance of it. So that's really good. I don't find the comedy to be as bad. I've seen a lot of other people review the movie and they were like, oh, the comedy's really cringy and stuff. I don't mind it. It's fine. It's very cutesy. It's very family-like. And it's rated PG. So, of course, it's going to be that way, too. Andre Bocelli's in the movie. And he is
the one that sings Solo Mio.
That's correct. And you know what? For a cameo role, it's not bad. He's not bad at acting at all. And, of course, that guy can sing still. For 67 years old, that is an amazing operatic voice that he has. It's quite amazing. I love the twist ending at the end. And then there's a specific actress, Julia Serta. I've never heard of her before. But her character in this movie is fantastic. It's the best part of this movie. She's hilarious. She plays a therapist, but a very controlling therapist. And the way they are able to skew her in a way that's still likable is very, very great. Now, my cons of this movie is that the conflict of the movie, there's multiple conflicts throughout. They get pretty blasé about it. They're like, oh, everything's fine. Sorry, I'm okay. Even him, he gets to meet his wife who left him at the altar. He kind of says, listen, it's my fault. I didn't listen to you as much as I should have. So that's my fault. And they kind of blow it off. This is a big ordeal.
He should have told her off a little bit.
I think so. Or add a lot more dramatic moments into the movie for that matter. Jonathan Rumi, you know him as Jesus in The Chosen. He's in this movie.
Oh, wow.
I got to say, his performance is very awkward.
Does he still have that beard? Or is he
no, he doesn't have the beard, but he does have the long hair still.
Yeah.
But throughout it, I'm just like, he's not matching the kind
of character
he should.
Think it's because we're thinking of him as Jesus?
Maybe.
Is he playing a different kind of role?
No, he does play a different kind of role.
I can understand an actor wanting to break out of the stereotype.
His best joke he has is that I'm a therapist too. And they're like, yeah, a physical therapist. So you can't deal with our emotions. So that's the best joke they got for him, unfortunately. But still, nevertheless, besides all those things, I do give the movie a 7 out of 10. If you want me to round it to a 5, it's 4 out of 5. And I give it a B minus as well. So okay. Decent recommendation.
Sounds like something I'd like to check out.
Yeah. Now, I do want to mention, there was at least 4 different movies in the trailers, and they all had to do with the American Revolution because it's America's 250th birthday.
250th,
So, Young Washington, which is dealing with George Washington as a teenager, is coming out. And then A Great Awakening. This one might interest you. It's about Benjamin Franklin. But specifically, it sounds like in the trailer, they focus more on his religious struggles, whether he wanted to believe in God or not at the time.
Oh, that would be very interesting.
Yeah. So, those are just a couple of the examples. There was at least 4 or 6 different American Revolution movies. So, get ready for Independence Day, where nothing in the movie theaters is just going to be about America's birth.
Well, I hope
birth,
that young George Washington doesn't have that apocryphal story about chopping down the cherry tree, because I heard that was all made up.
Luckily, it does not. And the trailer doesn't show it, at least. But we'll see. But, Bob, thank you again so much for this time with you.